little silence had a small, rough paddock with a bramble cowshed at one corner with 2 or 3 acres behind it for corn and potatoes. And one boxing day he said to Sammy Twiggle,
"Sammy, Sam boy, there's a couple of pheasants as big as turkeys roosting that ash again my hovel. Come up a New Year's Eve and we'll get the gun. Make a party on it."
Sammy was a retired house painter, and he stood about 6 feet, with arms as long as a monkey's and a face like a laying hen. His nose was bulbous. So Sammy came stooping in at Silas's door, like a beery giraffe, about 1 o'clock on the afternoon of New Year's Eve. And Silas said,
"Sit down, Sammy. Let's have a wet afore we start. Mouth full of wine? Tot a cowslip?"
He filled 2 tumblers with wine, and then, as they were drinking, he looked hard at Sammy in wonder.
"What the Hanover's that on top of your head, Sammy?"
That, Sammy said, "that's a shooting hat."
It was a big, loose, green felt with a fancy feather in it.
"Shooting hat? Looks more like a pair of the old lady's bloomers, not green. Shooting hat? Where'd you get it?"
"You gotta wear a proper hat for shooting. Any fool knows that. This hat belonged to Lord William. It's a real shooting hat."
"Is it? Well, I'll lay your brace of pheasants to a trouser button at end, so there. I'll tell you what it is. It's a fishing hat. The pheasants'll think you're a blamed old turkey or summat. A proper shooting hat's a deer stalker. I'll show you. I've got one."
So Silas went upstairs and came down with a check deerstalker on his head, and Sammy nearly had a fit.
"That? That's a pike fishing hat. You undo the flaps and you can sit all day and your ears don't get cold."
"Sammy, a gent were killed in this hat. Shot at, mistook for a pigeon. That'll show you whether it's your shooting hat or not. Look. You see them 2 little holes in this side? Well, that's where the bullets went in. And you see them 2 little holes on that side? That's where they come out. Drop more wine."
Silas filled up the tumblers, and Sammy, defeated, drank.
"You got the gun loaded?"
"I've been loading it all morning."
The gun was a muzzle loader, about 50 years old. It was a very good gun, except for one thing. There were times when it would not go off. The trigger would jam, and nothing on earth would move it. Finally, just as you'd given it up as a bad job, it suddenly went off and blew the roof out, or killed a cow or something. Otherwise, it was a fine gun. Silas always loaded it with powder and shot, and old newspapers, and rusty nails, and old rats' nests, and hairpins, and dried mice, and brace buttons, and in fact, almost anything lying about. And when it did go off, it made a considerable impression.
"Yes, I'm got him loaded. But we can sit here a minute. They don't begin to roost till about 3 o'clock. And by gosh, Sammy, they're as fat as butter. They're as big as turkeys."
After that, they sat still, Silas filling and refilling the glasses for a long time. It was a cold afternoon, with a light piebald fall of snow on the fields and the air dead still and frozen. By the time they were on the 4th bottle, it was 3 o'clock, and Sammy said,
"If we don't get started, we shan't see whether they're cocks or hens or bushel baskets."
"Sammy, them pheasants are so tame you could catch 'em in mouse traps. It'll be kids' play. What's wrong with sitting here? Ain't we all right? Another mouthful of wine."
So they sat for another 30 minutes, and the feeling of twilight, snow wild, was already growing strong when finally Silas got up and staggered into the kitchen for the gun and the powder horn and the ramrod and the bag for the reload.
"You carry the bag and shot, Sammy. I'll carry the gun. And put your hat on straight."
Very offended, Sammy staggered up.
"That's as straight as I am. Look at that blame stag's talker yawn. Terrible."
"Deer stalker? Not stag stalker. Anyway, it's better to wear in the old women's trousers. Pop down, let's get on."
"It's a shame to leave that drop in the bottle, ain't it?"
It is, Sammy. It is. Put it in your pocket. Take it with us.
So Sammy put the wine bottle in his poacher's pocket, and carrying gun and bags and bottle, they staggered down the garden and over the fence and across the field. In the light snow, their tracks made a kind of crazy chain, linking up and staggering away, so that Silas bawled out at last,
"What's the use of me walking straight if you don't? Pull your hat out your eyes, man. How do you expect to see straight?"
"Who can't see straight, eh? Who can't see straight? I'm all right. Where are them pheasants? That's what I want to know."
"Sammy boy, in a minute. All in good time. Oh, stand still. You see that hovel?"
"Which one?"
"That one. There's only one."
"You're a liar. There's two."
"Well, all right, Sammy, there's two. Now, you walk over, and beyond that hovel, you'll see them sitting on the grass waiting for you. Two cocks eating corn. All you got to do is beat them up, and I'll have them down afore you can wink."
"All right. And if for God's sake take that blame stag stalker off, else they'll be frit at you."
"Dear stalker!"
Sammy made snake tracks in the snow. Silas moved after him with dreamy caution. Suddenly, Sammy set up a great shout, and the pheasants came over towards my Uncle Silas on fast, dark wings. Silas took aim, the gun wavering about as though held by a man with St. Vitus' lance, and then shot. The kick of the muzzle-loader knocked him instantaneously flat on his back. The pheasants veered and swooped and screeched away beyond the house and the spinney and were lost to sight.
"You beat 'em up too sharp!"
"Too sharp, be damned! That blame stag stalker frit 'em to death!"
They stood in the snow, holding each other up, and had a slight offended altercation. It was growing darker. They had a drink. After the shot and the screech of pheasants, the day was dead silent. And after the drink, they suddenly began to speak in low voices, as though afraid of being heard.
"Sammy, you get over the other side of that hedge and go round the Arcot's barn and see if you can beat somewhat up while I get loaded again. There's pheasants run about there like hens. I'll stand under the hedge so nobody'll see me. We'll have a couple down in a pop."
It was almost dark when Sammy climbed the fence, and to Silas, standing under the hedge, the clouds looked like tawny elephants. He stood there for a long time, but nothing happened. And then finally he heard Sammy's voice.
"Ain't you seen it yet?"
"Seen what?"
"That pheasant. I beat one up as big as a turkey. It walked through."
"Walk? By golly, I ain't seen a thing."
"Wait a minute. I'll whistle when it's up."
In a moment, Silas heard a faint whistle, like the air escaping from the hole in a barrel. But he could see no bird. He waited. And then Sammy called,
"Why don't you shoot?"
"I ain't seen nothing."
"And take that stag stalker off and look. He's sitting on the fence by the oval. Pip him."
Silas looked.
"By gum, if that ain't the biggest pheasant I ever see."
"Shoot, man, shoot, afore the blind hat scares it."
"Shut up, women's breeches, and let me get aim."
In the half-darkness, Silas took a long, slow, unsteady aim at the colossal silhouette of the bird on the fence, and then pulled the trigger. Nothing happened. No sound. And the bird still sat there. In a great sweat of trouble, Silas cocked again, took aim, and pulled the trigger. Nothing happened. To Silas, the world went round. The great elephant clouds swam tipsily, and still that colossal myth of a bird sat on the fence. Then he cocked a third time, and took aim, and pulled again. But the gun was dumb.
"Sammy! Sam boy, she's stuck! Quick, Sam boy, Sammy!"
Sammy fell over the fence, and when he got up again, they struggled feverishly in a sweat of despair to ease the trigger off. But it was no good. It was as though the thing had frozen. And finally, Sammy said,
"Ah, it's no use. I'll catch it in me hands. You stop here while I creep up and drop on it. If it gets up, and you can fire, then fire like blazes."
Sammy made strange tracks in the snow, and finally went behind the hovel. And from that moment, my Uncle Silas lost him. All the time he stood trying to ease the gun off, but it was no go. Then suddenly he looked at the fence, and he could see not one bird, but a brace. Two vast dark shapes huddled like roosting turkeys. He began to stagger towards them, stumbling like a man who'd seen a vision. It was a sportsman's nightmare to see, not 30 yards off, a brace of the biggest, and to have, at the same time, a gun that wouldn't go off. And finally, he could bear it no longer. He stopped, took an aim in which the barrel wobbled like a jelly, and then touched the trigger. The gun went off immediately and knocked him flat on his back. It always did that. He expected it and was not surprised. What did surprise him was a sound of moaning. It came from beyond the fence. My Uncle Silas struggled up, rolled across the field like a sailor on the deck of a storm-tossed ship, and found Sammy lying in the ditch with no hat on and a 15-pound turkey dead on his chest.
"You killed me! You blowed me out to bits!"
"Good God, it's a turkey!"
"I'm shot! You shot me hat off, I'm done!"
"There's another one, a brace!"
"For God's sake, the blood's running down me chest! For God's sake, if it's the last thing you do, get me up!"
So Silas picked up the turkey with one hand and got Sammy up with the other. And it turned out, after a time, that it was not blood running down his chest, but wine. Then it seemed that Sammy could stand up, and then that he could walk about, and finally that it was not he that was shattered at all, but his hat.
"We gotta find it! We gotta find it!"
And at last they did find it, in the next field, in a patch of kale.
"By gum! There's some air holes in it! The old lady'll feel a draught, won't she?"
The idea was so good, and he laughed so much, that Sammy wanted to fight him there and then in the darkness and the snow. But 2 days after New Year's Day, he laughed on the other side of his face. Sammy's old lady came up then and gave him a couple of cracks with a copper stick that he felt for a month. For it appears, after all, that she did wear that hat. But my Uncle Silas, in revenge, would never have it that it was on her head.